In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I once had a gentleman tell me that the problem with the church in America today is that it has gotten off message. He went on to say that the church is supposed to be all about traditional morality, family values, and patriotism. He said, if the church goes back to these things, you'll see your pews filled with people again. Well, I'm not sure whether the church would gather a lot more people if we had that message of traditional morality, family values, and patriotism. But I am sure that that's not really an adequate statement of what the church is all about. Nor do I think that the goal of the church is necessarily to fill the pews. Don't get me wrong, the church is called to make more disciples of Jesus. But that's different from simply filling the seats to capacity. The church is all about discipleship. It's a community where we proclaim and find the message of the gospel of Christ. It's the family of God in which we're called to repentance and to receive forgiveness, so that we can live the kind of lives that God created us to live. And sometimes that message does attract a lot of people, and sometimes the message of the gospel will cause people to turn away. Large crowds were following Jesus, so he turned to them and said, "If you want to follow me, you're going to have to be willing to give up your family." I'm not sure that's exactly the family values message that most people want to hear today. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to be willing to risk your life. In fact, you're going to have to be willing to face even a shameful death, the death of a cross. Bearing your cross was not simply an abstract concept for the crowds who followed Jesus. They'd seen firsthand what it looked like to take up your cross. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be willing to part with all of your possessions. I've heard that a lot of the prosperity message churches are growing. They probably don't spend much time with that verse. Either Jesus did not know how to win friends, or he wasn't concerned simply with attracting crowds for the sake of attracting crowds. He wasn't running a political campaign. His chief aim was not popularity. He was leading people to eternal life. And the way to eternal life meant that they had to follow him. And following him often meant that they had to reject some of the things that this world has to offer. Jesus then told a couple of brief parables to explain what he was talking about. He said that anyone who intends to build a tower wouldn't start until they figured out how much it was going to cost and if they had the money to complete it. When someone starts to build, they count the cost of building. This may well have been an obscure warning about a building project that was already going on in Israel at the time. Herod the Great had started a program to rebuild and remodel the temple in Jerusalem. And his sons were now carrying on the work that he had begun. And in the chapter in Luke's gospel, immediately prior to this one, Jesus had already foretold the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. All of the work that Herod and his sons had started was about to come to nothing. And if the people put their hope and their pride and their trust in the structure of the temple, they were going to be disappointed because it was never going to be completed. Then Jesus spoke of a king who was going to war. And he said that any wise king would first sit down to figure out if he could win the battle. And if he could not win the battle, it would be foolish to go to war. And this too may have been an obscure warning. There were those whose nationalistic aspirations led them to hope for a battle in which they would be able to overthrow the Roman government and get rid of their Roman oppressors. But it was a battle they couldn't hope to win. It was a battle that they did eventually choose to fight, and the consequences of fighting that battle were disastrous. Jesus warned the people who were following him to count the cost. And we can count the cost in a couple of different ways. The way that we usually count the cost is to ask, what is it going to cost us to be disciples of Jesus? Some of those who did choose to continue following Jesus were rejected by their families. Wives were abandoned by husbands, and husbands were abandoned by wives, and St. Paul even had to write instructions about how to handle that situation in his first letter to the Corinthians. He talked about if your unbelieving spouse abandons you. That was something that was happening in the early church. Some of those who continued to follow Jesus did have to give up all of their possessions. And yes, some of those who continued to follow Jesus did have to quite literally take up their cross. That was the cost of being his disciple. What might it cost us to be disciples of Jesus? It might involve losing friends or being estranged from parts of our family. It might mean less financial security, turning down a promotion, or even changing jobs. It could eventually even mean losing our lives. Have we ever stopped to count the cost of following Jesus? There will be times when each one of us, when every disciple of Christ has to make a conscious choice to follow Jesus that will involve a sacrifice, that will cost us something. I don't know what it will cost you. I don't even know what it will cost me in the future. But we can be assured of this. Following Jesus, being his disciples, will cost us something. There is no discipleship that doesn't bear a cross, that doesn't bear a cost. One way to count the cost is to examine what it will cost us to be disciples of Jesus. But another way to think about counting the cost is asking ourselves, what would it cost us if we turned away? What would it cost us if we made the decision not to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus ends his teaching with the warning, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. They will throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. Again, this warning was probably somewhat obscure to the people, but Jesus was telling the people that Israel had a vocation to be salt to the world. They had a vocation to be God's people, and to be God's people in that moment meant that they needed to choose to follow him, because if they didn't follow him, they were headed for their own destruction. They would be left with their unfinished tower and their disastrous battle. The cost of discipleship for us might be that we lose some of the things of this world, some of the things that are comfortable, some of the things that are kind of nice to have. But the cost of turning away was the destruction of Jerusalem. The cost of us turning away would be our own destruction. I wish I could tell you that following Jesus is always going to be easy. But that wouldn't be true. It costs each of his disciples something to follow Jesus. I can tell you that following Jesus is the way to salvation, not just eternal bliss in the hereafter, but salvation here and now. as you follow Jesus into the authentic life that God created you to live. So count the cost. Count the cost not just of following Jesus, but also count the cost of turning away. Because the cost to follow Jesus is a high cost. But the cost of turning away, that would be disastrous. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.